Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My Nextdoor app is full of mountain lion sightings recently, so that's great.
Yikes. Why does my cat insist on laying in the middle of my yoga mat? One of life's great mysteries, I guess.
Well, my cat has some sort of litter challenge going on with all the other cats where she wants to have as much litter outside her box as possible.
Mine do that too. I've had my inside pants inside out all day. Shrug emoji.
Shrug all day. Have such a good day. Revival or not, we're happy to have you.
This is our pod where we try our hardest, our darndest, to have such a good day.
We certainly do. We were just joking about rolling on the river. If you're like, Creedence Clearwater Revival, what the hell does CCR have to do with this podcast? Not very much usually. But
and
hey,
you know, that is a little bit dated for us. I mean, I wouldn't say that we grew up during that era.
In fact, we most certainly did not. But CCR was one of those, it's kind of like The Doors,
Pink
Floyd,
psychedelic,
Creedence, mm-hmm. Steve Miller Band.
There were, like, I love the Steve Miller Band.
In high school that
I
were
still
like,
love the Steve Miller Band.
Well before our time, Fleetwood Mac to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But like was like a cool thing in high school when people like discovered marijuana and stuff.
Roy Orbison. I used to love Roy Orbison.
I don't know if I really had a Roy Orbison phase, but yes, that checks the box.
It coupled with Steve Miller Band because he opened for them once, and I think that was the first concert I ever went to was those two. And
oh, no kidding.
I remember I got trampled or something. It was pretty sketchy. I think I was like 14. I was like a tween.
You're trampled at a Roy Orbison concert. What a memory.
But if you guys are joining for the first time, welcome. We try to have lively chats for you. We try to talk about the crazy life roller coaster, the ups, the downs, the crazy corkscrews. And we try not to scream. We try to laugh and you know, try to find the humor. In all
yes,
of it.
We do.
Do you like my roller coaster analogy?
I did. It was great. I liked how it was sort of like a tongue twister and a roller coaster all in one. but we try not to scream, but it happens.
It does happen. Sometimes it's more offline. Like
life happens. Yeah.
Yeah. But right before the show, we're always like, let's get our screams out. And, you know, it happens.
Blood curling scream, Heather. Come on. We're about to record. You know, just get
it
out of
blood
your body.
Is it curling or blood curdling?
Blood curdling.
Yeah, I think curdling.
Actually, now I'm not sure.
I want to see it's blood curdling.
Yeah, because I think it's like the scream is so loud that it's curdling blood like milk. It's actually kind of gross. Now that
it's
like,
so
like,
gross.
Not really.
But
a
lot of those expressions are super gross. Like, what's that one? What was that one? It's like head in a war basket. Or wait. What is that? I used to say that all the time. What was it? The
head in a war basket. I don't know.
It's gosh, I don't know. I have to think about that. But another thing we like to try to do on the show is to think about the silver linings, because you know, in darkness there is light. You have to have a moon when you have a sun. Mm-hmm. You can't have a day without
night. Always darkest before the dawn.
Yeah.
all of the
things. Hell in a handbasket.
Hell in a handbasket. I'm like a head in a basket.
And the reason why I said war is because apparently that expression, I think I've talked about this on the show back when.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And hell in a handbasket, it's gross because I think it dates back to like this war. And it's like body parts or a head was in a bloody basket or like something so grotesque. Anyway.
Oh, well, yeah. On that fun note. Yeah. But as
from Credence to blood baskets,
it happens in the flash of an eye. As Heather mentioned, we want you to have such a good day. We know that all days are not equal. Sometimes some days are like super great. Some days are the absolute opposite, but we're here. And real quick, we did take last week off, and we'll get to that in a minute. But thanks to everybody who sent us nice messages saying we're cool with that. Get your stuff together. We really appreciate that, and we always want to keep you updated on schedule stuff. But we're back. We are back.
Yay! Yeah, it's like I always think of that scene in The Shining when he breaks through the bathroom. I've seen too many horror movies.
Johnny,
here we are, we're back.
Very scary movie.
So how's your last 2 weeks been, Sarah? It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has. So we took last week off, so it's been a couple weeks since we did our sort of like let's all gather around the fire and talk about how our
the virtual fire
our last week's been. Yeah, the virtual fire. It was somewhat non-eventful. I mentioned in our last show, January sometimes gives me like the slight blues, and it's nothing bad happened or anything. But I was thinking, as I knew that we were about to record the show, like what did stand out to me in the last week? I mean, is there anything that stood out in the last week? Because so many of these pandemic weeks, they just are a week like any other. I eat, I sleep, I do my work. There's almost nothing to say.
Yeah.
Besides like, somebody cut me off on the road. Woo. but I was thinking about the last time I got on an airplane, because over the last week when I was working on my other show, Daily Tech News Show, which is a daily show, we did cover CES. For anybody not familiar, it's the Consumer Electronics Show. It's this huge trade show that happens usually in person in Las Vegas every January, but this year is virtual because, of course, pandemic stuff. But over the last, 15 years, maybe 20, I've been there almost every January, working for various, companies or myself or whatever. And, my team that would have gone, and we went last year and the year before and the year before that and everything, we obviously weren't going this year, but we covered it from a distance, which was actually kind of a relief because traveling for work is just not that fun.
The date of CES was always so daunting because it's like early January, it's cold and dark in Vegas, doing it, honestly. Yeah,
and you just get through the holidays, so you kind of just want a bit of a respite, but you're like, here we go.
Yeah.
For people who are like, but Vegas, how bad could it be? It's like, when you're at a trade show, like you're not like gambling,
it's not glamorous.
Partying. No, it's not that at all. You're kind of just like walking a lot.
You're slogging.
And you got backpacks full of gear and you're tired and you want to go
home. Feet hurt.
Yeah. And anyway,
you never eat well.
Never eat well. No, because it's like it gets to the point where you're like, I need to eat literally anything or I'm going to become a monster, And so like you end up eating like some like weird energy bar and like a like gross apple
or like a pale hamburger, like in between gross white bread.
Yeah. All of the things. Anyway, so I didn't go. And, it's honestly quite a relief. Not my favorite trip in a year, but I was like, well, so when's the last time I got an airplane? Well, yeah, it was CES last year.
Wow.
It has been officially over a year since I've been on a plane. And that, lots of people are like, well, yeah, sure, airlines are operating. And if you're like crazy rich, you can like get a PJ or something. But lots of people haven't flown this year. Mm-hmm. And so I know that it's not super weird to be like, oh, wow, it's been a year since I've been on a plane. But there were just so many years in a row. Not that I like love planes all that much, but I love to travel. Mm-hmm. I like to go somewhere. I like to get out of my element. I love that. And mm-hmm. I realize, wow, it's just been a really long time since I've had that like fun, excited feeling about, mm-hmm. you know, like we're taking off and we're going to land. It's going to be totally different.
I miss that too.
Yeah. It's really, you know, I'm not like going to like belabor it too much. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it, and we will fly again, and I'll take a beautiful vacation to parts unknown soon enough. And I, you know, got to be patient like everybody else, you know, get my vaccine. But it's just, it's kind of a weird thing because of all of the, I'm a terrible money manager. I mean, I'm literally penniless, and that's my own undoing. But but what I've always spent the most money on really is travel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think that that's part of being alive.
I agree.
And not everybody feels that way, and that's cool, but I do. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of weird to be like, what a strange milestone I just had. Yeah. I just haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I there was some movie I watched recently. I think it was like Bullet or something with Steve McQueen. And, it, you know, there's an airport scene and it was like, whoa, it looks so foreign. Like I just, it sort of was, it struck me like I have not been in an airport. Well, you know, the last time I was in an airport, so I did Miami around this time in, well, I guess that was December or was that early January? So that was over a year. I guess February I went to San Francisco. I think that's the last time I was on a plane. Mm, I remember because yeah. I met my dad at SFO and that was around February. But yeah, the traveling thing is interesting. I mean, I had an outing yesterday where we just drove to like an adjacent town and had like a day out where we went shopping and had lunch and kind of had, you know, sangria. And it was a weird feeling. It kind of was that same feeling you're saying is like you get out and you have an experience and it just felt weird. I was like, I haven't done this in a long time. Like even like a yeah. quick daytime outing, you know, with people that I love and enjoying ourselves, actually like not worrying about things and like being happy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. There's a little bit of like, I mean, I do not consider myself agoraphobic at all, but there is a little bit of a, we've been, you know, so many people all over the world for the better part of a year now have been trained to be like, don't go anywhere unnecessarily. Don't be around mm-hmm. people unnecessarily. You know, wear a mask, you know, do your yeah. part, you know, let's nip this in the bud and then we can all go back to real life. But people mm-hmm. also get trained easily. You know, we as humans are like, you get used to stuff. I know for myself, it's like, I've yeah. gotten used to being like, ooh, do I want to like drive to San Francisco right now? Because I only live like an hour north of there. Why would I? You know, unless I have like a really good reason, like that's where more people are. I've got a friend in Oakland, yeah. which is, you know, equidistant from here to San Francisco. You know, it's an hour, a little bit more. And there's like a bridge, the Richmond Bridge, that I just hate that bridge. I've always hated it. If you're familiar with the Bay Area, it's, you know, there's bridges all over the place. It's just, it's an ugly bridge. It just, it does its job.
I don't like it either.
But it's just not a fun bridge to be on. You're not like, ooh, yeah. It's like Golden Gate Bridge is like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's like Richmond Bridge
is not
that bridge.
Gets you across the bay.
But normally I would just be like mildly inconvenienced. Like, oh, I have to go this way. And, you know, now I'm kind of like,
sure.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to visit my friend in Oakland. I got to go across the Richmond Bridge. And it like is like sprinkling rain. Like, I'm not going.
Oh, hell no.
You know? it's sort of become this delicate snowflake really easily because you're like, oh, I mean, it has to be like a super good reason for me to do this like thing like slightly outside my comfort zone.
This is what I'm worried about. And we've kind of talked about this in some sense, but like I think about this a lot where we as humans are good at adapting. That's what we're good at if we're good at anything. So we've adapted to this year being on the ground. Well, most of us. And we are. Yeah, it's like I feel the same way. I'm like, God, like I can't even imagine going out at night. It's like so dark here and I don't want to. Like I don't even want to go out to dinner. It's like everything's really far. I want to be cozy and warm. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's partially the winter, but I definitely have gotten to be more of a homebody. And even all the time that I'm spending like in my office or like my dad's house or whatever, it's like, I'm like, I kind of miss my house. I want to be in my space because I'm so used to like being surrounded by my space that when I'm gone, I feel like I don't want to leave. It's kind of, it's good and bad. I'm a little concerned because I want to be able to like go on a good trip, go somewhere exotic, but I'm also just like a little attached to being home in like a weird sort of, it's almost like Stockholm syndrome or something.
Well, yeah, because it's like we're so used to being like, it's for the best. It's for the, it's, it, you know, this is for the greater good. And so you're like, okay, now everything else feels a little weird.
Yeah. But I think that it's a, what I like about it, it's like a collective feeling. We've all had a similar year, a lot of us. And so we'll look back on this and talk about it and be like, whoa, remember that crazy year? I do have some friends that have been literally jet setting all year, like as if nothing is wrong with the planet. And I have a hard time relating to that. I feel like it's somewhat irresponsible, but it's also like, it's great for them, but it just feels weird during this time. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, I know that if, you know, if I, my mother lives within a short drive of where I live, and if she lived on the other side of the country and she needed me, it's like, all right, I'm going to mask up and I'm going to take a flight. You know, I would have done that. And I know that there are plenty of reasons that a lot of people are like, I have to get on a plane right now. But yes, I also, there are a few friends of mine that are in that boat, the same boat as what you're describing, Heather, where I'm just like, y'all, you think this is just like a party? Like, this year is not a party. Yeah, you might just want to rein it in a little.
Yeah, and then just like the sort of like, you know, the posting on Instagram just feels so strange. It's like, I don't even really feel, I don't know, posting on social media is tough now because I don't want to be, I don't know. It's hard to brag or be too showy now.
Right. Yeah. Everything feels like an unnecessary flex. Like people are like out of work and you know, like it's like nobody wants to see your Tulum pictures. Okay.
No.
You know, like great for you, but like just, you know, rein it in a little bit. So listen, Heather, I've beating around the bush cause I'm dreading this a tiny bit, but as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we were off last week and we were off for a really specific reason. So let everybody know how the last couple of weeks were for you.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. It's okay. You don't have to dread it. I mean, I think me too. And I know you can relate to this. It's very personal, and I feel like closer to you now. Like now that I know what it's like to go through this. And I did, about a week ago, I lost my father, who was a great friend and my touchstone, and the planet is not ever going to be the same. I feel like I literally walked out of one door of one reality and into another, and I'm never going to be able to walk back through that door. Like, it's just a totally different world now, and it's an emotional roller coaster. Like, I'll have, you know, a lot of days where I'm fine and I'm focused and I'm like trying to keep busy, but then I, you know, something will pop up and I'll, you know, of course, a lot of tears. And I won't get into any of the details about what happened to him, but it was a pretty wild last month. And it felt like a very strange movie. I mean, I keep thinking of The Twilight Zone. You know, I always think of that one episode where it's like Jennifer Jason Leigh's dad, who he goes into a bar and he gets in like a fight, and he's kind of like he's a bad guy. Like he's kind of racist and like he ends up in like Nazi Germany. Like he walks out the front door and he's like in a totally different reality. And obviously it has nothing to do with, you know, Nazi Germany or Europe or anything, but it just this totally different reality that you just wake up in. Mm-hmm. And I have a hole in my heart. I do. It's big, and I know that I'll be able to fill it over time, and it won't all the way fill up because there'll never be another Dado, which is what I called my dad. And the origin of that is when I was a kid, I couldn't pronounce my name, Heather. I couldn't pronounce T-H or K. And so I called myself Hedo or Hedu, and instead of Heather. And then my aunt, Her name is Aunt Kitty, her Catherine, which is my middle name, but we call her Aunt Kitty, and I used to call her Aunt Titty, which is a kind of a funny family joke. But my dad, he's always called me Hedo because of that, and I've always called him Daddo, and he will, there will never be another Daddo. So life is sure a mystery, Sarah, but death is a bigger one, and I will say that just like a little bit of a, let's talk about him for a minute. Cause I would like to say that he was a patron, and for since day one, yeah. He's always been so supportive of my work. He used to make popcorn and, sit down in the evening and watch Pop Siren, which was Sarah and I's show on Revision 3 way back when. He was our biggest fan. He loved us on camera together. He loved us doing stuff. He wanted to support me. He was always so supportive. You know, he was a great cook. I'm never going to get his food again, which I still can't wrap my head around. He made frittatas and pancakes, and he is a green thumb. He has taught me everything I know in the garden. He's a real intellectual and a voracious reader, but a very altruistic man, always wanted to make other people's lives better. All of his crew, people around town that he's worked with, they all cried and said that he was a friend, that they supported him and him or her and their family. And he did. He was very generous. He always had really interesting books stacked everywhere he, you know, sat. In fact, one I found the other day that he was currently reading, I mean, this last month, was Opening Chess Moves. And that's so my dad. And that's like, reminds me of that, Queen's Gambit show, but he was a real intellectual, real smarty pants, and he loved cookies. He loved bread and cheese and wine, and he loved foot rubs in the garden. He was a bon vivant. He was a real bon vivant like me. I feel like I got that from him, and I feel like even in my 40s, he loved to father, and he used to tell me even in my 40s now, he'd say if I was going on a trip or something, he'd say, okay, honey, just be careful when you cross the street. And I'd be like, Dad, like somewhat irked. Like I'm like an adult now. You don't have to tell me that. But like deep down, I always loved it because I knew he was always watching over me. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's really a tough thing to wrap my head around. But I did spend the year with him. I'm so grateful. We planted lots of things. We are going to continue to keep the garden going for him because it was his baby. And every time I see a bird or a flower, he's there. He's the bird. He's the flower. And you know, I'm now busy being a proprietress. It's like my new favorite word. I never really knew that was a word, but I'm
managing his business. It's the first time I've heard it, but it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool word. And he told me that, about a month and a half ago, he said, you're now the proprietress. You're in the driver's seat. Cause I know that he knew that his time was limited.
And he also knew that you could handle it.
He did.
And that's, you know, that's because of him. So, you know, that's something to take with you.
Exactly. His wife told me that, like, he was saying the last few months, he was like, I am so, like, Heather's so competent and, you know, I feel very comfortable. And I think that he needed to know that, to let go, to know that, like, things mm-hmm. would be taken care of. And because he always did that. He took care of everybody. So I'm keeping a lot of emotions at bay because I have a big business to run now. And it's very daunting. I'm still learning, and I think after this year, I will know a lot, and I'll have like a free MBA, basically.
Yeah, no kidding.
Was so sweet. His cat Marley. He's a big black and white fatty, like a tuxedo kitty, kind of cross-eyed, so cute. He loved my dad. He was always laying in his lap. He was always on his chest when he was reading. I mean, he didn't leave his side. He didn't even go down to eat toward the end, but he didn't even leave his bedside. Like that last month, it was, and you could tell he was heartbroken. You could tell even now he seems depressed. It's like his master is gone. Mm-hmm. So there's a million anecdotes I could tell you that are like touching and heartbreaking. And I'm just going through it. I'm trying to keep my head above water. Sarah, you've been very helpful. We've been chatting a lot. It's not like Sarah and I haven't talked for like the last 2 weeks. I mean,
we
like unpack stuff every day. And I'm so grateful for that because I know that you went through this when your dad was younger and you can relate.
Yeah. And yes, it's true. It's you know, these sorts of things are just, I don't even want to say like, oh, it's like the hardest thing you'll ever deal with. It's like something beyond hard.
Oh, beyond.
You know, it's you kind of are like, oh, my entire life is different from this moment forward forever.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people struggle with that, you know, whether they, you know, kind of like lean into their grief or they lean into, you know, the sort of like aftermath, you know, like mm-hmm. kind of what you're saying is like, there's a lot of business stuff to take care of, you know, mm-hmm. and you can kind of keep busy doing that. And that's actually probably a good thing, you know, to some extent. But you mentioned the kind of the hole that will never be filled. And I think that that's a good way to put it. And I don't, you know, I mean, my dad died in 2004. It was quite some time ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels like a really long time ago, but mm-hmm. that hole will never fill.
No,
it'll never fill. It becomes easier and it becomes more normal mm-hmm. that there's a hole there.
Yeah.
And you can plant things around the hole.
Sure.
And watch them flourish. And you realize like, oh, okay, that hole like isn't the end of everything, mm-hmm. but it doesn't, I mean, you can't make it go away.
No,
you just can't. And it's a really tough thing. And I know this is very, very fresh for you. And I really applaud you for being able to talk about it. So kind of, you know, with your head on straight, cause I don't think I would have been able to at the same time, you know, week into it. But, like I even want to cry right now, just talking, just, because
I know.
It's just like,
oh,
there's so much, but yeah, I'm, you know, I know I speak for all of us when I say how sorry I am and how much you and your dad were very close.
You were. I was a daddy's girl.
Very much. Yeah.
Yes. I really was.
Yeah.
And you know what's weird too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking, I was like, you know, I've been really tight with my sister. She's been up here. Shout out to Vanessa Frank and my stepmom, Nina. And what's weird is that I just had this weird thought the other day. Like I've always been a lot like my dad, and I feel like I'm the closest person now to everybody who knew my dad. I'm the most like my dad out of anybody mm-hmm. in the world now. And I think my sister and Nina are kind of, you know, it's like, that's kind of comforting in a way. You have somebody who's like part of the genetic pool, and it's just strange. And I know I have a lot of him in me.
Person. Yeah, for sure.
No, and trust me. I mean, I've had, you know, I think the month while he was ailing was a roller coaster of emotions. I mean, I must have cried all the tears out of my brain. And so I think I've had a few days of just kind of like, I'm dried up. Like it's weird. And then it'll come out of nowhere where I'll think of him. And I know that I haven't fully wrapped my head around this. Like I keep thinking he's going to walk down the stairs, you know, cause I'm working in his office at his house. And I keep thinking, oh no, he's going to be home soon. I'm going to hear the garage door. Like I don't know if I've totally like wrapped my head around it. And I don't know if it took you a while to really understand what happened, like the impact of it, that I'm never going to see him again. You know,
trust me, it took me a while. And some somewhat I don't know if I'd call them bizarre, but impulsive life choices.
Yeah.
You know, that I now realize, oh yeah, it's because I wasn't totally in my, I was headstrong mm-hmm. in kind of a weird way that I didn't realize until later. But I actually, it's really weird. I think I've even maybe mentioned this on the show before, but when my dad died, again, you know, long time ago, 16 years ago now, gosh, almost 17, you know, I was not a child, mm-hmm. but I was in my mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And besides like a freak accident here and there, nobody's parents had died.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everyone's parents were alive, whether they were together or not, or, you know, the situation mm-hmm. was all very, you know, it just depended on the person. But I remember just kind of being like, wow, I have to kind of deal with this. And no one around me really knows what to do.
Yeah.
Because no one's been through it. Mm-hmm. And that was okay. I mean, I never faulted anybody for that. But I don't think it's really any different at any age. You know,
no, but I think you didn't have the support, though, that you might have needed. of like someone to commiserate with.
Well, sure. I mean, I also, I feel like people supported me the best they could, but it definitely felt like a, wow, no one teaches you how to go through this. Mm-mm. And nobody knows what I'm dealing with. Yeah. And, you know, it was very solitary. But I do think, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, you being, you know, a couple decades older than I was at the time, and your dad being older than my dad was, like, it doesn't change the grief process at all, because you're still like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. I just did not, you know, you can't prepare yourself for something like that.
No,
you know, it, you just have to do it and kind of be like, holy fuck, this is like the most traumatic thing maybe ever.
And I think that like harder times are coming. I think for me, what is going to be so difficult is when things kind of calm down again and like I'm outside and I'm planting something that he loved, and which we did this weekend. We got a rhododendron, an azalea, and like this hybrid, like Japanese hydrangea. It's really cool. And he loves those. Those were his three favorite plants. We planted those this weekend or a few days ago, and like it really did satisfy me. I was like, we're doing this for him. It like it sort of filled the hole like a tiny bit, you know, like this is for you, dad. And but then, you know, when I'm having a glass of wine, it's like I think of him with everything, and then that's the problem. Every second I want to tell him something, share him something with him, show him something, you know, like texting him, like, and I couldn't even go on Words with Friends because I had games with him and I had to let them expire because I was so freaked out that I can't play Words with Friends with them anymore. Right. We played daily. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's complete broken heart here. And I know I sound kind of sober right now, but I think, you know, again, like it goes in these weird waves. I was talking to one of his good friends yesterday who's, everyone's pretty shocked. I mean, no one really expected it to happen this fast, but his good friend, really nice guy. I met him years ago, and he was, you know, he lost his parents, and he said, there's those people who have parents and those who don't. And like, kind of just to distinguish between the two, it's like, you know, you're a human with parents and then you're a human without, and you're just different people because of it. And I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, there's never, ever, ever, ever going to be anybody like him ever. I mean, even if they cloned him, he still wouldn't be, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the serious heartbreak, is I'm never going to hear him crack a great joke. He had the best sense of humor. Yeah, it's the ultimate heartbreak.
It is. I think, you know, before we kind of push on here, and this is just, I'm talking to just sort of the great abyss, you know, but certainly everybody who's listening to the show, some of you have lost loved ones, obviously. Others, maybe you're lucky enough to not have gone through this yet, but you will. I mean, that's just the human condition. Yeah, it is. It is life. And I don't want to make light of it, but I do think that, and this is something that I've experienced, and I've also, you know, people who have gone through, you know, tremendous loss, have echoed my sentiments that at first, you know, everyone, you know, deepest sympathies, condolences, you got flowers, you know, someone might make you a casserole or, you know, whatever that kind of, you know, air hug version of all of that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always appreciated. But because again, human condition, it's like people just have to kind of go back to life.
Yeah.
And what I've found is, you know, nobody owes me, you know, months and years of like, you know, being like my therapist type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find that, you know, after the initial like, oh, this is so awful, I am so sorry, you know, shock and awe, it kind of, you know, people sort of slink back to their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, those of us who are sort, you know, still reeling, you know, it's easy for somebody to be like, wow, well, that didn't take long, everybody, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, I'm not okay, but everyone just kind of went back to their lives. But that's what people do. Anyway, I think, you know, I'm being very long-winded about this.
No, I like it.
But yeah, if you, I just think if people, if you think, if you just kind of keep, you know, top of mind that somebody going through something like this is like, they're not going to be better in a week. Mm-hmm. They might not even be better in a year.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, who knows? But like, it's not going to happen real quick. And,
no.
You know, like that whole kind of like, hey, how are you? I'm really sorry. Like, you know, like check in, you know, check in a little bit longer than you think you need to, because it's not, you know, some milestone that, you know, just gets passed and then we're done with it.
That's actually a really good point. And you've been checking in and it's been great. And honestly, I'd say that's the thing that is keeping me afloat is just all the support I've had. I mean, yeah, the flowers, the food, the love and the caring and the all of it and the messages, the cards. And I'm having a good day today, but I didn't have a good day yesterday. Like it just goes in these really weird waves. And not that I'm not, you know, I don't want to, you know, act like I'm not sad, because I'm incredibly sad. I feel like my tears are dried up or something. But, you know, he did say one thing about a month ago. He said, you know, when I'm gone, you know, you'll forget about it pretty quickly. You'll just move on. And he said that many times, like, well, when people die, they just, life goes on. And it's true, but he's wrong in the sense that my life's forever changed. And, mm-hmm. I want him to know that, you know, he will never be forgotten. So.
Of course. Yeah. I think no matter what you think about life after death, you know, there are many theories.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't even really know what my theory is at this point, but, my theory basically is that I'd have no theory, but, but yeah, that sort of, you are now no longer here. Everything mm-hmm. is a memory, mm-hmm. you know, is it a joke that you told, you know, that flower that you planted, are there recordings of you somewhere where I can hear your voice again? Mm-hmm. You know, or anything in between, like all of that stuff still remains, but it's all of a sudden a memory.
Yep.
Rather than a thing that is associated with a living person. It's a fucking crazy, it's a crazy thing.
It's an acid trip experience. And, you know, I saw some video clips of him the other day and it really just made the tears flow again. Cause you see their body language, you see their life and you hear their voice. And one thing I'm so grateful for is I saved like 50 voicemails from him over the years. Like I have stuff way back, like I think 2017. And I'm so grateful, and I'm not listening to him now because it'll totally make me cry. I have to wait, but I'm so grateful I have that. My friend Jill told me when her dad passed away, she wished she had some recordings of his voice because she used to have these long conversations with him on the phone. And that was what she missed more than anything, is his voice. And from that day, that was years ago, I started saving voicemails. So thanks, Jalita, for that advice.
Oh, that is really good advice. I definitely had a cell phone when my dad died, but it was so long ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything like that. But when I was much younger, and in fact, I can definitely credit my dad for, you know, the job or the career that I have now is, you know, he would sit me in front of a tape recorder and like press record and be like, just talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was like 100 tapes of me.
Oh, that's cute.
Sometimes just me by myself, or me and my dad, or my mom was around, or like if a friend came over. And, you know, over the years, it got like a little bit like fancier. Like I, at some point, you know, got a stereo with a microphone for my birthday. Like I was like 6. You know, like this was, he was very into like recorded things.
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, I am to this day. And in photography, kind of same vein,
mm-hmm.
just making memories, you know.
You're very much like that too.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I mean, gosh, I have literally one place that I can play a cassette, which is an old Walkman. Today I really need to get some old cassette deck and take it a little bit more seriously. But I mean, I have boxes literally every time I move apartments, like half of my boxes are cassette tapes.
That's great.
And
you
it's like
keep them.
I will. I mean, I would never throw them out, and I haven't listened to them in so long, but so many of them are like, I remember, because I not only would record stuff, but I'd listen to it over and over and over, and sometimes like record over like a certain part and like try to get like kind of creative. And he would occasionally show up in those tapes, you know, because he'd kind of wander in, and he always liked that I was doing that.
That's cute.
And you hear his, you know, and he had a really very, very, very deep voice, very radio voice. He should have been an announcer, but, but yeah, like I can, I remember some of those things just right the second as I'm talking about it, because it's like, we just, it was just such a like very, very ingrained part of, you know, my life. And it does, you know, again, feel like a memory, but it's something that I still have.
Yeah.
And
oh, definitely.
And that's important.
I think so too. And you know, it's just their body's gone, but I just can't help but think that, I mean, I don't know, like the soul, the spirit is somewhere. It's in the surrounding, you know, flowers and birds and trees and the wind. And especially where I live on his property, it's a very special piece of land that he absolutely adored and wanted to die there. And he's everywhere. I mean, everywhere I look, I'm like, oh, I remember when he planted that, or that, you know, that's his favorite berry. And gosh, there's so much more to say about it. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to belabor it. But again, thank you all for being so supportive. And you guys are good friends, and I really appreciate it. And I'm glad to be back. It's good for me to focus on something else now and get my mind off of things. So thank you for letting me do that.
Well, and, you know, I'll tell you, everybody, I mean, I told Heather, obviously we took last week off. It just, you know, there was no real other way to do it. But, you know, I was sort of like, I mean, you could take a month off if you want to, you know, and Heather was like, no, I really want to do the show. It's it's fun for me. It's therapeutic. It'll you know, kind of bring me back to reality a little bit. So, and I totally get that. And I think that, you know, I'm really amazed by your strength. And
thank you.
I know that everyone listening feels the same. And yeah, everybody who's just been so supportive of us, you know, through thick and thin all this time, you know, highs and lows. And we just appreciate you so much.
And I'm so grateful that we can talk about this stuff on our show, like on our little pod. And not everybody has a podcast that they're talking about politics and history and I don't know, cooking, but like we get to talk about life, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, I am too. Well,
moving on,
switching gears just a little. It kind of makes sense. Heather, you mentioned there's some business stuff that you're trying to wrap your head around, and just having to deal with a lot of details. And we all do that to some extent. I always joke about not being a great money manager, which is very true. But I used to, when I was, I don't know, younger and everybody used pen and paper, and I know some people still use pen and paper. Heather, you're one of them. But like, I'm just a, you know, I want to be wireless all the time. I never want to see a pen. I never want to see a piece of paper. I never want to write cursive. I want everything to be digital. But I know that that's actually sometimes not the best way to retain information.
Yeah.
You know, like writing a to-do list out. Mm-hmm. You know, with my left hand, you know, smudging the ink, you know, with my notepad is the way that I used to do everything. And at some point I was like, this is stupid. Why am I like wasting paper? And like, you know, just, there's pen, ink is everywhere. You know, when you're left handed, you always have ink smudged all over your body. And so I got away from that, but I never really figured out a to-do app that replicated it. And I still haven't really, but what I do, which is like just the most rudimentary option available, is I open a text edit file. I use Mac OS, so it's text edit, but it would be like, you know, Word or Notes or, you know, any sort of other app that you could get on other operating systems. But I open one, I save it like Sarah to do January, whatever, 2021. And then I just write a bunch of stuff down and I like sometimes come back to it, and mm-hmm. sometimes I just like start a new document because I'm like, I don't even remember where that was. You know, it's just a mess.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like I'm trying to replicate what I used to do, but because of just, I don't know, our computer worlds, it doesn't really work that well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm not really remembering things in my brain as well as I would if I would to write something out. Mm-hmm. So this is not necessarily the solution, but if anything I said has resonated with you, like, yeah, I've got the same problem, like too much structure, I'm like, I don't need that much. Mm-hmm. There are some solutions that people have given me where I'm like, no, this is like just like way too much.
You're like, I don't need Trello to like keep track of my to-do.
Yeah, like Trello's one example of many where yeah. you're like, it's like almost too much project management yeah. for yourself. I just need to like remember what to do today.
Sure.
Anyway, so yeah. So one of the options that a friend of mine who is, he is very rigid about project management for himself, like to the point where, you know, he laughs at me and I laugh at him. And I'm like, how do you live? And he's like, how do you live? Like, how do you remember like to get up in the morning? But he suggested an app called Workflowy. So it's like, ooh, Workflow with a Y, workflowy.com. Mm-hmm. And the particular tool is called List Maker. And what it is somewhat of a, what seems like a free form. Like I'm saying, like you open up that, you know, empty notes file, mm-hmm. and you just start writing stuff down or bullet pointing or whatever you're doing. But that's exactly how it works, but it is saved to the cloud. There's a paid version, but the free version lets you, like, I don't know, add like 250 notes a month. I'm like, I probably wouldn't even ever go over that. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely recommending it because I think for most people it could be free unless you want to like go a little bit crazy. But the notes themselves, you can assign attributes to so that you can, well, you can stick to a calendar. You can, you know, if I make a note that Heather needs to know about, like I can, you know, set up some sort of a deal where you would get that note if mm-hmm. it's in a particular category. Let's say, you know, we were talking about, I don't know, at something about plants or a house or the show or whatever. Mm-hmm. There is actually, it's pretty dense. It's as simple or dense as you'd like it to be. And I just found out about this like a few days ago. So I'm in my early stages, but I think it's kind of cool, especially for someone like me where I'm like, if there's too much structure, I'm just not going to use this.
Yeah.
You know, I have a calendar. I got mm-hmm. my notes. I don't need things to get like too crazy mm-hmm. or else it turns into something where I'm like, I'm not having fun anymore.
Yeah. You know, it's like, too much work to keep it up.
Well, and the kind of like, you know, the somebody who's like, oh, you know, I'll have like a call with so-and-so at 2 p.m. tomorrow. And I want a reminder, you know, at this, that, and the other time. And then maybe we have to reschedule. It's like all of that stuff happens. That's natural part of life. Mm-hmm. But there's like an organic quality to like rescheduling and replanning that I have to do or else I just feel like a robot's like... you know, has taken control of my life a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of almost want to do it the hard way a little yeah. bit so I don't miss anything. Anyway, Workflowy, if anyone has used this or I don't know, checks it out after me mentioning it and has any thoughts, please let me know. And I will check back next week and let you know because I think it's actually a pretty non-intimidating way to perhaps make that to-do list a lot smarter.
I'm so excited about this, Sarah, because I'm a big fan of clever ways to stay organized. And it's funny because I have a whole new world now that I have to organize, not just my own world, but my dad's world. And I'm definitely going to check this out. I wanted to mention, like, my ways to stay organized that I've used for years are pretty simple. I have a... notes on your, you know, you have it, you can have it synced to the cloud and you have it on your computer and you have it on your phone. And I pin a note. My first note that's always at the top is my to-do list. And it's quite hefty. I mean, it's not just to-do, it's like my shopping list. So whenever I'm like, oh, I'm out of matches or I want a new candle, like I'll mark that down.
How often are you like running out of matches?
Well, in the country where we are, for example, our cabin people who are staying in our Airbnb, they pinged me and said, we're out of matches. Do you have any? And I thought,
got it.
Yeah, oh, shoot, fire. I don't think we do. So I gave them my match box, and then I need to get matches now to replace those. So yeah, that is a weird thing to have on the list. But some of the other things
I get it.
On my list are, you know, I don't know, like look into getting a sun lamp, play tennis again, get a croquet set. Here's a really cool easel if I wanted to get an easel, like things that I want to tab. And, you know, and then I have like at the top, it's like major to-dos, like, you know, wood bin for cottage and planter boxes for blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, that kind of thing. And it really works. I've been doing this for years. And so it's great because it'll update on my phone, then I'll be on my computer and I'm constantly checking it and deleting stuff. But I put stuff in my calendar, like, you know, I'll have like thing where it's like call so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, you know, and then I'll move it if I don't get to it, or like, you know, do 1099, and I just put it in my calendar. It gets a little out of hand. So I'm really excited to try this workflowy. I like the name, and I'm into it, because mine is, it's pretty rudimentary, and maybe I do need something like slightly more sophisticated. So I'm definitely gonna check that out.
You should. And I'll do the same, because I'm with you. What you're describing is more or less kind of how I do things.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I will, you know, I'll tell my voice assistant smart speakers at home lots of things, and that those get added to lists.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like the ingestion comes from a lot of places, mm-hmm. but the kind of organization of it still needs to be simple, or I just kind of I get overwhelmed and I'm like, I'm just not going to do anything.
Me too. And there is something to say for writing stuff down. Like when I actually had a full-time job and I was coming to the same desk every day, I always had a yellow big memo pad. And every day I would redo my list at the end of the day and be like, okay, I cross that stuff on the new page. These are the new things I have to look at the next day. And that actually worked really well for me. And I like to see it and cross it out. It was satisfying. But see, I have like three different locations now. I'm like, I don't know if that's really going to work right now. I mean, I might consider doing that for my dad's biz. I've been thinking about that because there's so much stuff to keep track of. And I kind of need to see it on a piece of paper, because if I have everything on the computer, like I need something in the physical world. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I will check out this workflowy. And I will definitely report back.
Well, excellent. Excellent. Glad to help.
Well, you know, I have something I want to talk about that's really, really, really cool. And it's just starting out. It's a new company that my boyfriend created with one of his sort of, you know, filmmaker friends in Brooklyn. And they just launched, and they just had a press release, and it's called Decanalog. It's a Decanalog, so Deck Analog. Mm-hmm. And it's a startup distribution company, and I'm so proud of him. I really am. I'm so proud. I've been hearing all the, you know, behind the scenes. I see the, you know, the old logo and the new logo and the iterations and, you know, just how they came up with the name and all the like neat little things behind the scenes. And I'm just very proud of the work he put into this. I think it's a really cool idea. I think it's a great time to do something like this because of just it, there being a huge market for films, virtual cinemas and digital platforms. It's like all about that now. There's such a niche for this kind of stuff. And I just think like striking while the iron's hot, like I just think is really smart. I'm very impressed that they came up with this idea. You know, it's what it is in a nutshell is, you know, they realized that so many internationally, he's a real film buff. I've said this on the show before. I mean, really the biggest film buff. He knows all international films, you know, over there, over here, you know, big, small. And so many of those international films kind of go without ever being seen because they never really get promoted in the US, or you just don't know about them. And so they're trying to create this distribution company of international films kind of with an edge, new and old, and sort of bring it to a US audience. And so they already have a really cool, like first slate Really awesome slate. I saw the first movie. It's a very funny kind of absurdist French comedy. I think you would like it, Sarah. It's very, very entertaining. And you know, they're just getting started. So check them out there. They have a website. It's still like under construction, decanalog.com, decanalog.com. And they have a Twitter. It's decanalog underscore, all lowercase underscore, and same with their Instagram. So, you know, this might be of interest to our audience. I thought that, you know, we've got probably a lot of film buffs out there. I know some of you are for sure. Jake yeah. Adams, I'm calling you out. And yeah, let me know what you think and I'll keep you posted.
That's really cool. Congrats. Send along all of our congrats to the talented folks in charge. And yeah, as you have mentioned, your dude is a film buff, but obviously, you know, more than that, he actually is trying to change the industry for the better. And that's really, really cool.
No, he's the shit. I have a random question that I want to end with though. About an hour ago, my friend Jamie on the Chat Olympics, you know, my friend Chat, she wanted to ask everybody a random question. And I'm going to ask you, Sarah, this random question. You ready?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
If you could go, and this is related to kind of your not being on a plane for a while, I think you'll like this question. If you could go only on one more vacation ever, either to a place you've already been or somewhere new, where would it be?
I mean, I think I'd go somewhere I have been before, because I already know that I like it.
Yep, it's comforting.
I think the easy answer is Paris, mm-hmm. because it's my favorite city ever. Mm-hmm. I've also been there a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, ooh, do I waste it and only go there? I mean, I think I'd probably be pretty happy.
You could say France, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Because the rest of France is, Paris is pretty different than a lot of the rest of the country. But
it's true. That's a good choice.
I'd have to think about it a little bit more because mm-hmm. it's sort of like, oh, or like there's this like super dope retreat I went to outside Puerto Vallarta once many years ago. And it's like, I mean, it's pretty sleepy, but I mean, I'd go back there tomorrow.
I'd like to go there too. So take me, you know? Please.
I will. Let's do it. We'll just like read books for a week.
That'd be so amazing. And, like, I look need at the that. Water.
Yeah.
I need a tropical vacation.
In fact, we should actually talk about those.
We really should.
Thought about it. Yeah. But
no, I'm actually totally serious. 100%.
So am I. I'm not joking either, Heather.
God damn it, Sarah. But you know, I would probably go to, I think I would choose Italy because of, it's my favorite country. And I wanted to go back there last year. I was supposed to go back there last year. And I feel like a real connection to it. And I love the food. And I've been there several times in different chapters of my life, and I'd really like to revisit it now. I went there with my dad, and I love olives and pizza. And you know, I mean, should I go on?
Yeah, right. I know it's like what's not to like?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, Italy would be. I mean, it's right up there. I think I've just spent a little bit more time in France, so I feel more affinity to the weird. Well, I don't want to call it weird culture, but the very unique culture.
I agree.
That is France. And Italy is different, for sure, but boy, is it nice. And yes, the food, arguably the best in the world.
And there's some wonderful islands that I always wanted to go to in France, like off the northwest. I'm trying to remember the name, but there's some really cute, like not tropical, but they're like, you know, you can go mm-hmm. in the water and it's warm and it has a little bit of that like French island vibe. I would definitely love to go to some of those places.
Yeah. I went to Corsica once.
Me too.
With my cousin Molly. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just sort of a weird thing that we decided to do.
Yeah,
while
definitely.
We were
yes,
traveling
too.
Through, you know, yeah, yeah. through France and, you know, Europe in general, and we were kind of like, okay, here we are.
It was a it's an interesting piece of land, actually. I thought it was cool because it was like you got the beaches, but then you have these really rugged mountains in the middle. It's like really, yeah. really tall, like high elevation.
And
it's
arid.
Very strange. Very yeah. arid, yeah.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's a big prison, and, you know, you've got these kind of, like, Corsican gangs, and, I mean, not that I was, like, hanging out in prisons when I was there, but it was, like, there's some edge where you're, like, huh, this is interesting.
And an interesting French-Italian dialect, too, which I thought
very
was, like,
much so.
I could kind of
yeah.
understand it, but, yeah. Very yeah. cool. Well, we are going to go somewhere awesome very soon. I can feel it.
Yes, we will. We all will. And until we can, we can go in our minds. But what we can do right now is thank everybody for supporting us. Patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where you can find out more about becoming a patron if you aren't already. We're up to 97 patrons, Heather. And
oh my God.
It wasn't so long ago that we were like, oh my gosh, we're eventually going to get to 100, and that's going to be so great. And you know, I think about it in terms of, you know, people have, you know, millions of followers on Twitter, or, you know, hundreds of thousands
like you.
Of followers on YouTube. Yeah. Oh yeah. You know me and my millions. But you know, a lot of that is just, it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you don't have a million friends.
No.
There's just, you know, there's a reason that, you know, people get to a certain point, or, you know, there's celebrity, or, you know, stroke of luck, all that stuff. And I think I feel so grateful that I'm like, I feel like we could have all 100 of us, almost 100 of us. I mean, with Heather and me, we're at 99, but you know, we could all be in a room and, like, for the most part, be able to, like, stay on course.
Oh, we
and
could.
Be like, we all kind of belong here together.
I agree.
And that is very, you know, not that I wouldn't like to have 9 million patrons, of course. But it's so cool that we're, like, nearing a milestone of our own.
I agree.
And we just really thank all of you.
No, I love it. It's a little community, and that's what it feels like. It feels like it's like this separate little group that we have that nobody else has. It's our little crew, you know. It's yeah. our little posse, if you will.
That's right. We're a proud posse.
We are.
We have a new patron.
Yeah, our 97th patron is a guy named Alex, and
woo-woo!
Sounds like he might be in Britain because he's paying via pounds,
woo-woo!
Which I thought was really cool. We have a bit of an international crew. And then new Discorders. We have a couple new people who joined the Discord. We're stoked. Y Yon P and Jerry B. Welcome, you
hey,
guys.
Hey, Discorders. We are so glad to have you. Let's chat.
Yeah, and Stephen M., who came back to us last show, we mentioned him. He's a patron again. He sent us a note and said, glad to be back in the Patreon fold supporting my girls. I
aww,
thought that was
Stephen.
Sweet.
That is extremely sweet, and we know that, and, you know, it's the nature of the world, especially the current world, that sometimes people gotta, you know, pull back, and I'm the same, you know, there's certain charities that I've had to pull back from
yeah.
this year, because I'm like, I can't really afford that right now, and it hurts my heart, and I'm always really glad when I'm able to
come back,
you know, to jump back in.
Yep.
Yeah, so if anyone is listening and hasn't been a patron, if you want to consider being one, so cool. If you can't right now, also fine, because we're going to always offer an ad-supported version of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon version is ad-free. So that's one of the many perks that you get by being a patron. but yes, we get it. And Stephen M. and everyone else who's come back into the fold, really appreciate it. And good to see
you. Yeah, good to see you guys. And send us a message. Send us anything at all. We just want to hear your voices, or we want to read your writing. Just say hi. Hi at havesuchagoodday.com. And for now, until next week, as long as no major disaster happens, fingers crossed, I will say have a perfect day and arrivederci.
Well, you as well, Heather, and everyone else, wherever you may be and whenever you may be listening to this, we very much love you, and we hope you have such a good day.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.